Turn in your Bibles this evening, if you would, to the book of Hebrews, chapter number 10. I want to preach this evening a message that kind of dovetails with what we were preaching about this morning. You'll see the comparison of the two messages, and we'll just start reading. I'm going to be looking at Hebrews, chapter 10, and verses 10 through 14. I'm preaching tonight on the thought, on the subject, This man. And we'll see that here in this passage. Now, with your Bibles open, look with me, please, at verse number 10 of Hebrews chapter number 10. The Bible says, "By the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. And every priest standeth daily ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifices which can never take away sins. But this man," there you have it right there. "But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God, from henceforth expecting till his enemies be made his footstool." And then verse 14, "For by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified." Preaching tonight on the thought, this man. Let's pray. Father, thank you tonight for the music that we've heard that's touched our hearts. And thank you now, Heavenly Father, for the opportunity again to look into the precious Word of God. And Lord, it's not by might nor by power, but by thy Spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. And I realize this evening that the Spirit of God will have to do the work if it's to be done. And I do pray that tonight that the message will be a help, a blessing, that someone would even be saved, and Lord, that your people might be nurtured and encouraged, and help us, Heavenly Father, to leave this building this evening more determined than ever to focus on that person, the Bible says, this man. So Lord, would you now bless? Again, we would want to pray for the pastor and his family, for Sister Darla, for her health issue, for your healing and your touch upon her. And now give us a good service tonight, we pray, in Jesus' name, amen. You know, if you begin to study the entire Word of God, you run across a lot of names. You see the mention of a lot of people, different backgrounds, and doing different things. I'm told that there's over 3,000 Bible characters mentioned when it comes to the Word of God. Way over 3,000. Many of those names are of people that had a unique ministry, a unique position. They were used of God in great ways to do unique things. We could talk, for example, tonight, we could talk about the man Abraham, the man David, the man Jacob, the man Enoch, the man Adam, the man Noah. We could talk about, and I'm talking about notable people, not only men and women, but we could talk about the woman Sarah, or the woman Hannah, the woman Ruth, the woman Esther, or the woman Rebecca. So we could mention many, many names of many, many characters and find in their lives tremendous truths that we can be blessed by reading. Here the mention is made of one man in particular. This man is unique in every way. This man is singled out as this man. The spotlight is put upon this man. This man is none other than God manifested in the flesh. This man's work completed redemption's work. This man's work is highlighted here in the book of Hebrews. And we can see here that Jesus paid it all. So this man, his work put an end of the Old Testament work of the priests in the Old Testament, the regular visits to the altars with blood sacrifice on the part of the Old Testament priests. This man's work fulfilled the promises of Scripture and explained the types of the Old Testament. This man. This man is only begotten of the Father. This man was pre-existing. This man is a virgin, the virgin-born Son of God. This man has a claim to fame 10,000 times, over 10,000 times and 10,000, 10,000 times greater than any son of Adam. This man, there's never been a man like this man. This man is unique in every way. We know him in many ways. We know him as preeminent. We know him as perfect. We know him as precious. We know him as creator. We know him as sustainer. We know him as prophet, as priest, as king. We know him as Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. We know him as God incarnate. We know him as Lord of lords and King of kings. This man, we've never met anyone like this man. Never have we met anyone like him. This is the man the prophets prophesied and spoke about who's coming. This man is the man that the types typified. This man is the one that this is the Lamb of God that John the Baptist identified. This man is the Lamb. He's a Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. He's a Lamb that was even before this world was created. This man was marked apart by God to be the supreme sacrifice for our sins. This man is a man who is the eternal creator. This man is a living Word. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God and the Word was God. This man is a central person of every book of the Bible. Every single book of the Bible highlights this man. You can go from Genesis all the way through Revelation and you'll find that Jesus Christ is highlighted in every book of the Bible. I'll tell you, that's why there is no separation between the Old and the New Testament. If you always look to find Jesus, if you find Him, you can appreciate Genesis just as much as Romans or any other book. This man is a seed of the woman that Adam spoke about. This man is the sweetest melody in the music that David sang about. This man is God manifested in the flesh. Without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, and received up into glory. This man was held in virgin's arms, and 33 and a half years later was held to the cross by the nails, and was pierced, was crucified, and was wounded for our transgressions and bruised for our iniquity. This man offered one sacrifice, never to be repeated. And thank God for that. This man. You would think that the work of salvation had to be repeated if you listen to what religions teach. Constantly it's do. It's live right. It's walk right. And yes, I believe that salvation helps you do that. But it's based upon works. Religions say do, but the gospel says done. The cross and the tomb say it's done. Abraham was great in his faith. David was great in his worship. Enoch was great in his walk. Noah was great in his work. Moses was great in his deliverance. But this man excels them all. He is a Lord of lords. He is a King of glory. This man paid it all. Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin hath left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. I want to tell you tonight that I fell in love with this man over 50 years ago at an old-fashioned altar when God saved my soul. I'm telling you, my life was turned around and I have had a love journey with this man ever since. Not only sweeter gets the journey, day by day, but I'll tell you, my love for my Savior increases. The older I get, the more I read the Word of God, and the more I sense His blessed presence in my life. This man said, "It's finished." And he walked out of the tomb 3 days later. Verse number 12. I'll call attention to that verse if you don't mind. Look at it, please. Verse number 12 says, "But this man," then note how it reads, "after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God. I'm telling you, there's enough preaching in verse number 12 of this text to preach from here forever. I mean, you cannot overpreach it. This verse is just full of it. You know, when you read this verse, it makes you want to break out in singing. Gone, 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 gone. Yes, my sins are gone. Buried in the deepest sea. Yes, that's good enough for me. I shall live for eternity. Praise God, my sins are gone. That's what I want to sing. But I can't sing it because I can't sing too well. But I'll tell you, when I get to heaven, I'm just going to cut loose and I'm going to do that song right once I get to heaven. Three places, when you stop and think about it, three places vouch for the victory of this man. Three places. Number one, we could say Calvary, couldn't we? Because Jesus said, it's finished. Number two, we could say the empty tomb, couldn't we? Because he walked out of it. Number three, we could say the Mount of Olives, because it was there that he ascended back to heaven. So on the cross he died, he said it's finished. He walked out and left the tomb behind, and then he stood on the Mount of Olives and was taken up to heaven. And my friend, we know what happened after that. He sat down at the right hand of the Majesty on high. His many things, you know, his life on this earth vouched for his victory. His life on this earth. Stop and think about it. What about his miracles? What about what he did? What about all of the things that Jesus did when he was upon this earth? Every one of those things vouched for his victory. The marriage at Cana, for example, was blessed with new wine. And Nicodemus was told what it meant to be born again. Every earthly miracle recorded before the cross proved in advance that he would prevail on the cross. He could not have stood at the tomb of Lazarus and said, come forth, if it was not already settled in the mind of God that he would pay sin's debt. He's a lamb slain from the foundation of the world. God already knew that Jesus would fully pay it all. God's plan of redemption was already settled in the mind of God in eternity past. The inspired writers wrote, by the way, as if it was already done. They really did. You can go to the book of Isaiah. You can read chapter 53. He was wounded for our transgression. You can read Psalm 22. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? And then David went on to say, thou wilt not leave thy soul in hell, neither will thou suffer thy Holy One to see corruption. In other words, the Old Testament writers, they wrote as if it was already done. It was already settled. I've been many times, and I'm sure you have, I've been to restaurants sometimes. I've got ready to pay for my bill and found that some gracious person had already paid for it. I've driven through some drive-through windows from time to time, and some kind person up front that I never even met would pay my ticket, pay my bill. And I thought, I wished I could have had an opportunity just to thank them for their kindness, for paying my bill. Well, you know what? Down through the years, I think many times about the one that paid my bill. And when I get to heaven, I like to thank him face to face for totally paying my bill, for paying my sin debt. I want to thank him in person. Oh, I can do so. I can say thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. And it's a joy and a blessing to pray and talk to him and to read the Bible and experience his presence in our lives. But all face to face with Christ my Savior, face to face, what will it be when in ransomed I behold him, Jesus, the one who died for me? I want to see him face to face. I want to tell him in person. Now, you know, this world's in a mess, isn't it? You know, Adam put us all in debt. I've often thought it wouldn't surprise me if they didn't quarantine Adam. Keep him away from everybody. About everybody's going to want to beat up on Adam. Of course, you know I'm joking. But Adam sure messed things up. He put us in debt. In fact, today in this messed up world we're living in, you can see evidence that every human being has a sin DNA of Adam. You can pay big bucks and you can get ancestry DNA and it can take you back a ways. In fact, my brother one time, he signed up for it, got it in the mail. He was going to check our ancestry out. And what he saw scared him so bad, he closed his research and forgot about it. But you know what though? The ancestry DNA doesn't go back far enough, does it? Keep on tracing. You'll find a person by the name of Adam, you see. We tonight, saved by God's grace, we can see the evidence of this bad DNA throughout our culture, throughout our society, in this world, in this country. We know the reason for the mayhem in the streets. We know the reason for the violence in the lands. We know the reason for the debauchery, the vice, and the perversion, and all of the corruption in this world. We know the reason tonight for broken homes and broken hearts and broken peace. We know the reason tonight for the kidnapping of Nancy Guthrie. Do we not? We know the reason. We know the reason for the kidnappings, for the murders and the killing of thousands in Iran by that brainwashed extremist who thinks he's honoring Muhammad. He's in for a surprise, isn't he? We know why countries spend billions of dollars on weapons to kill people. We know the reason tonight why humanity is infected with a sin disease that shows its ugly consequences everywhere you go. We know tonight why this world is in the mess. It's because of Father Adam. The greatest consequence of all will be the eternal separation from God. I'm telling you, it's bad tonight to see people addicted to drugs. It's bad to see people with their different types of addictions and to see warped minds and to see people living miserable lives with no peace of God in their hearts. It's bad to see that. But friend, we haven't seen nothing yet. Thank God we're not going to see it, we that are saved. But the greatest consequence of sin is a place called hell. It's eternal fire that unsaved people will one day be tossed into if they fail to get to the cross of Calvary and accept Jesus Christ as their Savior. But oh, I love this passage right here. This man. This man paid it all. This man sat down. This man took care of our sin debt. The payment is clearly announced. It's written throughout the Bible. It's stated in the New Testament. It's written before us right here. It's stated in the Old Testament by the prophets. It's stated in the types. What about that serpent that was lifted up? I want to tell you tonight that when people that have been bitten, as they looked upon that serpent, and they were healed of that deadly serpent's bite, if Jesus would not have paid it all, they would have died because of that venom. So you see, it's stated in types. It's stated by his cross. It's stated at the tomb. It's stated in the seat now that he occupies in heaven at the Father's right hand. The very fact that Christ is right now, while I'm preaching, in heaven, seated at his Father's right hand, proves to me and proves to you the work has been done. He sat down. The Old Testament, if you study it out, you'll find that the Old Testament priest, he never got it finished. He went back every year. The Day of Atonement, he'd go in, he'd offer that blood sacrifice, but he'd have to return. It was a constant repetition, never to end. But this man, he is now seated at the Father's right hand. Now, let me put it practical now. Not only the payment is clearly announced, we see it. But number two, the payment is personally enjoyed. Is personally enjoyed. We could talk about the peace tonight and the joy that God's people have that proves he paid it all. Religion doesn't give you that peace. Religion does nothing but contribute to more misery. As people are trying and doing all these things. But thank God we have the peace of God that passeth all understanding. We can walk by faith. We can trust in the Lord. We can enjoy the Savior. That proves He paid it all. The presence of the Holy Spirit within the believer proves He paid it all. Jesus said, I'll return to the Father and I'll send the Comforter that He'll be in you. In all of you tonight, saved by God's grace, you're indwelt by the Holy Spirit of God. And that's another proof that Jesus paid it all. He sent another Comforter of the same kind. When you look at that word another, the Holy Spirit is another Comforter of the same kind. Jesus was somewhere on this earth. I think of old John the Beloved. Seemed like he was a bosom buddy of Christ. John the Beloved is singled out as that disciple that loved the Lord. I'm touched every time I read about how John had his head nestled on the breast of his Savior. He loved the Lord. He found comfort. He had his ear over the heart of his Savior, even while he lived upon this earth. But my friend, through the enabling of the Holy Spirit, you and I have our ear on the heart of the Savior. Through the indwelling Holy Spirit, through the peace that He gives, through the comfort that He gives, the way He encourages, the way He gives comfort and so forth, that tells us tonight, this man took care of the sin debt. He's the author. He's the finisher of our faith. He's the Alpha. He's the Omega. Salvation is finished and complete. He is able to keep us from falling, the Bible says, and to present us spotless before His presence. He is able to make all things work together for the good to them that love God. We can look for the blessed hope. We can find comfort when our loved one dies. We can face the knocks, the beatings, the pressure, the trials, the tribulations of life. Because thank God, as a Christian, we're not alone. We have His presence. We have His peace. We have His love. And as I said this morning, He sends us a Valentine card every day, written in black and white in the Word of God, that He loves us. We can find comfort. We can find peace in the storms of life. And I'll tell you, old Noah, I think of him many times. Noah of old was in the ark, but the waters and the waves were outside the boat. And I'll tell you, I'm thrilled tonight to know that the water and the waves are outside the boat. I'm glad that inside we have that peace, we have that warmth, we have the victory. We're more than conquerors through Him that loved us, because He conquered at Calvary. We have a blessed future. We have a bright hope. Jesus paid it all, and we have hope. We have victory. I mentioned this past Wednesday night. I'll use my old corny illustration again. Maybe folks will get it this time. Of course, there's nothing to get. It's kind of right stupid, to tell you the honest truth. But I still think, I remember my days when I was in high school, and y'all know I come from a background. I'm an old West Virginian, and I never did have a whole lot of confidence. You know, raised in the West Virginia coal fields and so forth, and not that I have any regret at all for the way I raised. I thank God for my raising. I really do. But I remember when I was in school, in high school, you know how it is. You choose teams. You choose teams to play baseball, baseball, football, whatever the case might be. And usually, you know, you work your way up that bat, and the top person is the person that does the choosing. Well, I kid you not, I'd be sitting there hoping, Lord, of course I didn't pray Lord because I wasn't saved, but I was thinking, I hope they don't even pick me. I don't even want to be on the team. I'll be more of a detriment than an asset. I don't want to be on the team. Because I, quite frankly, wasn't too good at playing sports. I just never did have it. Now, I like to hunt and fish, but sports, you can have it. By the way, I took a little nap today. I did wake up and watch a little bit of Daytona. I don't know who won it. Do y'all know? Well, that's right. Still going, isn't it? But here's the point I'm trying to make tonight. I thank God that our security and our peace is not totally resting upon our choosing Him, but He chose us. We're on His side. I find more peace in knowing that I'm on His side than Him being on my side. He's chosen, and by the way, we're set up to win. I mean, when God chooses a team, we're set up to win. More than conquerors through Him that loved us. So tonight, I'm thrilled about what this man did. I'm glad it's all about this man. It's not about this person, but it's about this man. So thank God tonight for that truth. Let's pray. Father, this evening, I just pray that we would leave here loving our Savior more and appreciating more His work of redemption on our behalf. We're glad He sent down one offering, never have to be repeated. And He's seated right now. Thank You, Father, for victory that is in Jesus. We praise You, Lord. Bless this invitation. Lord, You know tonight what needs to be done. If there's someone here that maybe just feels the nudge of the Spirit of God to slip forward at the invitation and maybe bring something and lay it at the feet of Christ, some care, some issue, some burden. Lord, if there be someone listening tonight that's not a Christian, I know that the internet, I know that the YouTube and Facebook, I know this is streaming live. If there's someone that's listening right now that's not saved, may they trust Jesus right now. Bless the invitation in Jesus' name. Amen.